Hello, friends. God is so good. Just the other day, I had the privilege of helping a young man come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. What a great joy it is to be able to share the one and only thing that is eternally true in this world today, and that's Jesus Christ. Now listen, I had some comments on the last sermon. Somebody said that I spoke too quickly and they had trouble understanding what I said. Then they told me that they had to listen to the sermon more than once. Well, I was impressed and encouraged. Listen, I'll try to speak a little slower and more distinctly in the future. However, I must warn you, when I get excited, well, you know what happens. I still have several copies of a biblical study through the entire first epistle of Peter. 5 chapters of verse-by-verse commentary and sermon-type presentations. Now, you can have these discs, these 4 discs, for only $20. That's 15 sermons for only $20. Order them today, copy them, and then give them to somebody else. Yep, you can copy them. They're yours when you purchase them. By the way, soon I'll be having a CD available with some good old country gospel songs. I'm presently working on that CD in a studio, and today's sermon is going to begin with one of those songs.
Paul wrote to Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure now is at hand. I fought a good fight. My course is now ended, a crown is now waiting when before God I stand. There is laid up for me a crown of bright glory, that is why I must run this race faithfully. There is reserved for me up in heaven a mansion, that is where I shall live eternally. Said, I've got an inheritance waiting. It's incorruptible and fades not away. I am kept by God's power through faith unto salvation. It now is awaiting to be revealed someday. There is laid up for me a crown of bright glory. That is why I must run this race faithfully. There is reserved for me up in heaven a mansion, that is where I shall live eternally. There is laid up for me a crown of bright glory, that is why I must run this race gratefully. There is reserved for me up in heaven a mansion, that is where I shall live eternally. There is laid up for me a crown of bright glory, that is why I must run this race faithfully. There is reserved for me up in heaven a mansion, that is where I shall live eternally.
These days, we're going to live up in heaven. We're going to live eternally. Peter speaks of an inheritance that is incorruptible, my friends. We're waiting. We're waiting now for that inheritance to take place. But while we wait, we need to die to Christ and to live in his resurrected power. And today, I want to talk to you from Matthew chapter 27. Verses 50 through 53. That's Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. And I want to talk to you about death and resurrected power. Death and resurrected power. Let's read that together. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. An insurance man brought a woman who had lost her husband a check for $500,000. She was surprised and didn't really check what she was saying before she said it. In her surprise, she said, "You know, I miss him so much, I'd gladly give $100,000 to have him back." Well, maybe she did check before speaking. There are so many things that I could preach about the resurrection. But today, I want to focus on two things. The first thing is debunking some Hollywood myths. And secondly, living in resurrected power. The problem with Hollywood is that they don't think before speaking. Carl F. H. Henry correctly observes the following about Hollywood, and I quote, "Hollywood aggressively probes immortality as the ultimate horizon. Afterlife films leap over the problems of AIDS, senior citizenship, death, funerals, and grief to concentrate on a world beyond, which often amounts to nothing more than post-mortem, out-of-body hanky-panky." Well, I think that Carl Henry was right. The movies increasingly banner that death is not final. Well, it really isn't. But they tell us that a spirit world is in store for us without God, without judgment, without need of grace, without bodily restraints, and without fear of hell. Take it from Hollywood and the movie producers, our personal psyche survives the crematory and the grave, but with no reprisals from a creator God. They make you believe that you can feel better about this world's licentiousness and greed because a pleasant karma awaits us in the future. But what really happens when we die? If one really examines death, I believe that he can readily see that it is the moving of spirit of life from here in this temporary state to another realm. Are there really disembodied spirits of humans roaming around wherever they so desire without restraint? My friend, if that were so, this would even be a more dreadful world than it is now. Let's examine our text today and see what the Bible says about death and resurrection. There's really no better place to look at that except our Lord Jesus Christ. His death was witnessed by hundreds. Hundreds witnessed his resurrection and his ascension. First, let's notice that a person must die in order for the spirit to go on. The Bible plainly says that Jesus yielded up the ghost. In other words, the spirit that was in his physical body departed and moved to another eternal state. There is something about the death of a human being that is unexplainable by scientists and medical doctors. A spirit actually passes from the body, and the body becomes dead. The life is no longer in the body. It's departed. The body is lifeless. But the life has not ceased. True energy never ceases. It simply is conducted or not conducted. Man was not created to die and never exist again. The Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That means an eternal being. That's from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Hebrew word for living is chayi. It means quick, running, raw, existing. And the Hebrew word for soul, nephesh, means breathed upon. And that breath comes from Almighty God, which causes the soul to exist forever. Now the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, that ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth from whence it came, but the Spirit shall return to God who gave it. So if the Spirit departs the body and then goes where God directs it, we should want to know where God is going to direct it. So let's carefully examine the scripture today and see some explanations. First of all, Jesus died. Our text plainly states that Jesus died. He tasted death physically and spiritually for you and me. But how did Jesus die? His death was quite different from what we ordinarily expect. God actually turned his head away because, hanging on the cross, Jesus willingly took upon himself the sins of the whole world. God could not bear to look, and Jesus was left alone to die. Now, we must realize that the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And the oneness spoken of in that scripture means God is in perfect unity. We do have a triune God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I can't explain that. Neither can any human explain that. But it does tell us something about God and about ourselves. First of all, Jesus suffered being separated from God. He had never known that before. All of the existence of God is the same, continually from beginning to ending. God is one. But for that one moment, for that one fraction of time that it took to pay for our sins, Jesus was separated from that unity. That means he died spiritually before he died physically. Have you ever stopped to think about that before? Being separated from God, even for a fraction of a second, means spiritual death. Jesus suffered that spiritual death first, and then his body died from the strain. His heart literally burst open, and Jesus died of a broken heart. He died for the disunity, yes, but he died because of the love of sinners. Yes, that certainly tells us something about God. He loves us. But it also tells us something about ourselves. We actually died spiritually the moment that we tasted sin. If you've never surrendered to Christ, you're already living in spiritual death because you're separated from God, from his goodness, from his love, from his life. You see, God is life, and without him, you have spiritual death. But the good news is Jesus was resurrected, and he has the power to give life. To whom will he give that life? The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God." You, my friend, can have spiritual resurrection today. All you need to do is A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus can save you, and then commit yourself to him as your Lord and Savior, guide and eternal judge. You have already died spiritually to the life and vitality of God, but you can be resurrected. If you've never followed the ABCs of life, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in a few moments. Right now, though, let's look at some more interesting facts in this scripture. First, look at the miracle there. The veil of the temple was rent in half from top to bottom. There in verse 51, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom." Jesus opened the way of direct access to God. That's what Hebrews 4:16 is all about. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Isn't that wonderful? God has made access for us to his presence, to his person. Now, the second miracle that took place is that Jesus took the penitent thief immediately to paradise. You remember in Luke 23, verses 42 through 43, Jesus spoke, and he said to Jesus, the thief did, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then there's another miracle. There was an earthquake that happened. The rocks were torn in half. Look at that verse 51 again. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Friends, when man the sinner crucified God the Savior, travesty happened in the earth. I got to throw in this little joke I heard. A man's wife died, and the pallbearers, I'll get that right in a minute, the pallbearers were carrying the body to the grave, and they tripped over a rock. Well, the casket fell, and then the wife revived and called out. They opened the casket, and guess what? She lived another 15 years. And then she died again, same scene, same rock. The husband called out, Watch out for that rock! Well, I tell you, friends, you better watch out for the Rock of Ages. He's the rock that breaks our rock-hard hearts of sin. He's the rock upon which we stand for eternal life. He's the cornerstone, and without him we have no building. The fourth miracle is that the graves opened and people arose. Look at verse 52. The graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept or were dead arose. They arose from their physical death and were given new life. New life. They did not walk in the earth in their present state yet. That didn't happen until after Jesus' resurrection. Because you see, he is the first fruits of God's power, and we come second. Now let's look at another thing in this scripture, that voice. The Bible says in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That voice broke the rocks. That voice ripped the veil. That voice tore the head right off of Satan. That voice shook the world and the universe. Jesus was in control of his death from beginning to end. He knew exactly when it should come and willed it for our benefit. It is his voice that offers salvation from sin by forgiveness from God, because Jesus already paid the price. Oh yes, that voice shook the world. And one day, my friend, it's going to shake the world again. Listen to this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord in an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. Now, let's look at one more miracle. Jesus gives life. Jesus gives life. Let's look back at verse 52 and then at verse 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Remember, it was not until after Jesus' resurrection that these saints appeared and began to walk about the town and the area. Now, there's a lot of conjecture about who these saints were. Well, I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. But I do know this. They gave testimony that Jesus gives life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus alone has the power to give life. That life which transcends spiritual death. To as many as received him gave he them power to become sons of God. These saints had power to live resurrected lives because of Jesus. You may have that power today. And now that one word from the preacher, which always awakens the saints. And in conclusion, you are a living soul. You are created in God's image, you're given God's breath, and you will exist for eternity. Where you exist is your choice. But you only have two choices: in life with Jesus or in death with the devil. All of us by sin have died to the spiritual life God gave us at our birth. But all of us have an opportunity to receive real life through Christ. He came to die spiritually for us because he had no sin and would never have had to die for himself. He arose from the grave and proves that he defeats death and hell and can give us his life. If you have never completed your ABCs, this is your opportunity. You can receive life today if you'll receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Admit you're a sinner, believe he can save you, and commit your life to him. Because to as many as received him, gave he them power to become sons of God. If you've never received Christ, won't you complete your ABCs today? Now listen to those of you who are Christians. If you know that you've received Christ, let me implore you to live in the power of his resurrection. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See you next month.